Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Calvin Corbett. So glad that you're joining us today. And we are going through a series with the book of Philippians, and we're calling it Habits of Joy. So we talked about the first habit, and that was the habit of thanksgiving. You know, the Bible tells us to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. And maybe you're kind of trying to figure out what the will of God for your life is. I know one thing that is the will of God for your life is that you be a thankful person. And then yesterday we talked about how we can be living in the moment and how the Apostle Paul lived for the moment and he lived in the moment no matter what he was doing, whether it be incarcerated or whether it be sharing the gospel, whether he was well-fed or not so well-fed. He lived in the moment realizing that God was going to sustain him at that moment. Well, today we want to look at the habit of always growing. Happy people are people who are always growing. There's a Bible Walk Museum in Mansfield, Ohio, and it has a collection of more than 300 wax figures. Its guided tours includes the miracles of the Old Testament, the life of Christ, the heart of the Reformation. The museum is filled with Christian martyrs, Amazing Grace, the journeys of Paul. There's also a section called Dinner with Grace, which is a Bible-themed theater on the property. Many of the museum's wax figures come from closed wax museums around the country, and they were bought from manufacturers that had a surplus. Some were celebrities, for example, in their previous lives. For instance, a wax figure of Prince Charles is now Abel, the murderer of Cain. A wax figure of Prince Philip serves as an angel. Elizabeth Taylor is in the King Solomon scene, apparently playing the Queen of Sheba. Steve McQueen and John Travolta have roles as well. Tom Cruise has been recast as Jesus. Journalists and comedians have made fun of the museum for reusing celebrity figures. However, director Julie Mott Hardin sees a much larger purpose behind the publicity they have received. She says this, deep down, we believe that God sends each person here. So I want to make sure as much as it's in me that they're going out of their experiences here, everything that God wanted them to get. Pastor Brunson returned home and talked to one day about the postmodern Christian society, looking for significance in all the wrong places. We focus on celebrities in our culture and we miss the opportunities to see where ordinary people can do extraordinary things with God's power and with God's glory. For example, American pastor Andrew Brunson served for years in Turkey without public recognition or acclaim. He was pastor of a 25-member church in Turkey. When he was arrested a few years ago, he was falsely charged of being engaged in espionage. For a time, he was held with 21 other prisoners in a cell designed for eight. He lost 50 pounds while in prison. The pastor faced up to 35 years in prison, but maintained his innocence throughout the entire ordeal. He said this, "I am innocent of man of all of these charges. I reject them," he stated. "I know why I'm here. I am here to suffer in Jesus' name." Pastor Brunson was finally freed not too long ago. He told the court when he was freed that he was finally vindicated. He has finally been set free. He gathered together and he met and prayed with President Trump. British court settlers asked, "How could this be possible?" He understood that Jesus loved him, and he says, "I love Turkey." What do these two illustrations have in common? Both of these illustrations are depicting things that have changed, things that have been made new, things that have been repurposed. So today we want to talk about always growing, always changing to be conformed to the image of Christ. And sometimes that is a molding process. Sometimes it is tearing us down. Jeremiah uses the illustration in the Old Testament of the potter's field. How God would take a piece of pottery clay, put it on a wheel, and mold it and shape it. And then during that molding and shaping time, it's pressing us, it's reforming us. Jeremiah would also look at the outside of the potter's house, and he would see that there were clay pots that were broken, that were discarded. What happened to them? When they went into the heat of the fire, they cracked. They could not endure the pressure. I want you to stay on that molding process, that remaking process, that growing process, being conformed to the image of God. Now, in order for this to happen, it's going to require a deep level of humility. But humility produces happiness and joy. Jesus himself is the example of how he can live in humility and unity and be filled with joy. Charles Spurgeon said, "There are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers on earth." Listen, if you want to be highly thought of in heaven, you can be a cross bearer here on this earth. Jesus himself says, if you want to be my follower, you must pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me daily. I think if we're seeking celebrity status, we're going to be like that wax figure. We're going to have his temporal success, but then we're going to be remade into something else. Work heartily as you are working unto the Lord, as he forms you and as he shapes you. When you think about growing in happiness, we grow in happiness by growing in humility. Unity cannot be forced. Pride never creates unity. Pride is, here's the acrostics for the word pride, P-R-I-D. Pride is pushing right into divine exclusion. It's building a wall, not a bridge. It is pushing God right out of our lives, saying, no, I don't need you. I got this, and we are pushing him right out of our lives. In Ephesians 2:14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier," that dividing wall of hostility. God broke down that wall of pride that separated us from him, that wall of hostility, and he became our peace. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says that we are to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace, or that is favor, to the humble. And then he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will lift you up in due time." Don't miss that phrase, in due time. "Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." You may ask today, why is it that God hates pride so much? Well, I think there's four simple reasons why we can figure out why God hates pride so much. Number one, it dishonors him. You know, when you think about pride, not only does it dishonor God, but it dishonors his creation. When you think that you're better than somebody else, you are dishonoring that person. You're saying, you know what, I'm a notch above you. I'm a step above you. I'm not honoring you because I'm above you. When we are filled with pride, it dishonors God. Number two, when we are filled with pride, it destroys people. In order for us to be filled with pride, we've got to knock somebody else down. It will destroy people if you are filled with pride. Pride is a terrible thing. You know, the middle letter in the word pride is the word I. The middle letter in the word sin is I. Whenever I get in the middle of something, I am going to fall. Pride comes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. The third reason I think that God really hates pride is because it defeats our peace. You're never going to have the peace of God taking up residence within you when you're so full with yourself. You cannot be filled with yourself and filled with the Spirit of God. That's why we are told in the book of Ephesians that we are to be constantly be filled with the Spirit of God. It's an ongoing process. Somebody asked me one time, why do we have to constantly be filled with the Spirit? We need to be constantly filled with the Spirit because we leak. The Spirit of God leaks out of us. Like a tire that has a slow leak, we have to constantly pump it back up. Our lives, when it doesn't surrender over to Christ, it defeats the peace that we have in our lives. That's why God hates pride. Here's the fourth reason I think that God hates pride is because it disconnects us from his care. We separate ourselves from God's care when we say, you know what, I got this. I don't need him helping me out in this situation. I got it. So God just steps back and says, okay, fine. I was going to take care of this for you, but you think you got it? I'm going to go ahead and let you take it. When you look at if and then statements throughout Scripture, in verses 1 through 4, we're in Philippians chapter 2, we see Paul using this if and then statements, and this is what will realign us to live a life joyfully. Paul says, therefore, if you have any encouragement, So there it is. If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, the then is, then comfort from his love. If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, here's the then. Make my joy complete by being like-minded. So Paul is saying, if you're receiving this encouragement from being united in Christ, if you're receiving this comfort from being united in his love, if you have this common sharing of the Spirit, if you are sharing in tenderness and compassion, the way that we know you have this is that you're making his joy complete by being like-minded, having that same love, being of one spirit, one mind. And so then Paul says, if we're living like this, we're not doing anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, he says, in humility, we value others above ourselves, not looking at our own interests, but each of you looking to the interests of others. I love how Paul weaves this together. And he says, if you want to live in humility, you value others as more important than yourself. Pride does just the opposite. Pride, I value myself just a notch above somebody else. Paul says, if you get encouragement from being united with Christ, unite and encourage others. If you get comfort from his love, then share that comfort and love with others. If you get common sharing from his Spirit, then you share that happily with others. If you get compassion and tenderness, then we give compassion and tenderness. You know, think about harmony. You think about a band coming together, playing different notes, playing different chords, different instruments, but they're all coming together. I think there's really four kinds of harmony that we ought to strive for as followers of Christ. Number one is mental harmony. Paul says, thinking like each other, not like robots in sync with one another, but unity of thought, thinking that all my life is comprised of walking in humility. All of my life is circling around the fact that I'm going to give glory and honor to somebody else. My mind is going to be thinking about others before myself. Then there's emotional harmony. This is when we weep with those who weep. We laugh with those who laugh. We rejoice with those who rejoice. This is the connection that we have as a body of Christ. When one of us hurt, we all hurt. We connect with one another. We don't just go on our lives when somebody's hurting. We reach out to that person. It amazes me how many people reach out to me when I'm hurting. They send me text messages and they send me encouraging notes and they say, hey, pastor, I'm just thinking about you, just praying for you. What is that? That is emotionally connecting with me. And we try to do the same thing and connecting with one another. There's also spiritual harmony. That is when we are looking at things from a spiritual level, all of us looking at the Word of God. I tell our church often, we have one arbitrator in the court of the Church of Hickory Ridge Community Church, and that is the Word of God. We are united around the Word of God. If the Bible says it, we do it. If the Bible says don't do it, we don't do it. That is what brings us together spiritually around God's Word, spiritually around Christ, who is the foundation of our faith. The fourth way that we can experience harmony is directional harmony. Everybody heading in the right direction. Everybody going in the same direction. It is so easy to lose directional harmony when you have 15 different people saying, let's go in 15 different directions. That's why we are united around the headship of Christ, following him. Well, that's the question we've got to answer is, how in the world can I grow in humility and in unity? Well, I'm going to spell out the word grow real quick for you today in this broadcast coming out of Philippians chapter 2. For letter G, we will grow in humility when we are glorifying God exclusively. Not trying to steal some of his glory, but glorifying him exclusively by trusting him. Paul says that God exalted him, verses 9 through 11, referring to Christ, and he has given him the name that is above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. So I will glorify God exclusively. I'm not going to steal any glory from him. Letter R. I am going to be reflecting on others, thinking of others well. Paul says, in your relationships with one another, verses 5 and 6, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Philippians 2. Think like Christ, the mindset of Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Paul is reminding us that Jesus could have used his Godhead as an advantage, but he wanted to identify with us, so he didn't use it to his own advantage. You see, humility is not putting myself down. Humility is lifting others up. That's what Jesus did. He brought us up to him, and the only way he could do that is by coming down to us. Humility is not putting myself down. It's lifting others up. Number three, as we spell out the word grow, offering sacrificially for others. Verse number eight, being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Offering yourself up for somebody else as a sacrifice. Offering yourself up to the betterment of somebody else. That's what Jesus did. He offered himself as a sacrifice. You know, we are to be reminded to do this, I think, through two ordinances of the church, baptism and communion. In baptism, our lives are saying, I now follow Christ. I identify myself by offering myself up. I identify through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So that when you get baptized, most pastors would say, I now baptize you, my brother or my sister in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the fullness of his resurrection. The second way that we see it is in the ordinance of communion. We are told that we do this in remembrance of him. What are we remembering? We're remembering his death, his burial, his resurrection. That cup of wine, grape juice, represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. Christ offered himself as a sacrifice. He spilled his blood on our behalf. He was a perfect Lamb of God. That wafer is a wafer that is made of unleavened bread. Anytime leaven is mentioned in the Bible, it always is referring to sin. Jesus had no sin. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet he had no sin in him. The leavened wafer represents the fact that he had no sin in him, but he offered himself up in broken body for us. You think about these two examples. Are you living as a sacrifice for others, offering yourself up for others? Or are you so consumed with me, myself, and I that you have missed a bigger purpose of what your life is all about? Well, letter W is working for others. He made himself of no reputation, taking on the very nature of the servant and being made in the likeness of man. He lowered himself even to death, death on the cross. When you think about humility, it is one of these things that you will spend the rest of your life working on. Humility is one of those things that once you get to that point where you're humble, you got to be careful because you can be proud of your humility. Pride is one of those things that the only person who doesn't realize they have pride is the one that has pride. It's kind of like bad breath. When you have bad breath, you don't realize you have bad breath. You need somebody to tell you you have bad breath. Maybe today as you're listening to this broadcast, God has begun to work in your life and you say, you know, there's some things in my life that I need to take care of. You know, humility can only come from those who have something about which to be humble. You know, the humble are those who could crow, but choose to keep their beaks shut. Humility is also a close associate of gratitude, and it's an attribute that simply oozes with class. Humble people. I tell the inmates at Indian Creek Correctional Center, you know, if you stay humble, you will not stumble. It is so difficult to be a humble person. I want to encourage you to be humble. Get into God's Word. Study God's Word. Get it into your heart so that you can walk in humility. It is a difficult task to constantly walk in humility, but if you really want to be like Christ, he will keep you humble. And I don't know about you, maybe you have somebody in your life that will help to keep you humble. I have five children. I love my children. Sometimes God uses my children to keep me humble. One time, one of my sons said to me, Dad, you ought to listen to your own sermons. That was an act or a statement that kept me humble. Sometimes my wife keeps me in check, and she tells me, you know what? You need to come off your hobby horse there, big guy, and she'll put me in my place. I'm so thankful that they can do that respectfully to me. I think everybody needs somebody in their life to keep them accountable. I think that's why the church is so important, Maybe you're listening to me today on this broadcast as you're going up Interstate 64 and you've been fed up with the church and you kind of just dropped out of church. And you said, man, I don't need a church to go to heaven. Man, I can put my faith in Jesus and I go outside and worship him in creation. Yeah, that's true. But you're missing something very vital when you're not part of a church. You're missing the opportunity to become a disciple of Christ. You're missing the opportunity for somebody to lovingly speak into your life. You know, iron sharpens iron, and one man will sharpen the life of another man. As we are involved in church, we are going to church not only to be sharpened, but to be involved in sharpening somebody else. That's why the church is so vitally important. Christ died for the church. He wants you connected to the church. I want to encourage you to get in a Bible-believing church and get into that church as soon as possible. Don't spend a whole lot of time shopping around. I know some people that have been shopping around for a church for years. As a matter of fact, every time I see them, I say, where are you going to church now? Because they're always going somewhere different. They've never really settled down. You don't grow until you settle down into a church and you become part of a church family. We'd love to have you come part of our church family. We'll love on you. We'll encourage you. We realize that the church is God's lighthouse shining out into this dark world. We'd love to have you part of the family. Come on and worship with us any Sunday at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock. We'll make you feel right at home. I want to encourage you as we wind down our broadcast today to think on these things. Things that are true, things that are noble, things that are of a good report. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to seek your face today. Lord, would you allow us to grow in humility? And we grow in humility when we think of ourselves less and we think of others more, and we put you on the throne of our lives. We seek you first in all of your righteousness, realizing that when we do that, all these other things that we worry about will be added unto us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's Word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you. So feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.